Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, down goes Janie. Banks gonna scam. And John Boyega. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Take a seat. Wyoming Republicans took Liz Cheney out behind the barn. We're going to look at why overdraft fees are a lot worse than you think. And the hot new trend at the office is not caring about your job. Plus, John Boyega is joining us on the show as our guest. So let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. Before we get into the big stories, let's catch up on a few other things going on in the world. First up, the FDA has ruled that hearing aids can now be sold over the counter without a prescription, making them easier and cheaper for people to get. That's amazing. Yeah. And you know, it's crazy that you ever needed a prescription for a hearing aid. Why? It's not like you can abuse them. It's not like there are drug dealers in the street going, yo, you want some of that extra loud? Yo. Meanwhile, in travel news, American Airlines has announced that they will be buying 20 supersonic jets that'll be able to get passengers to their destination twice as fast as current airplanes. Yeah. And while that's great, it also means the annoying guy who's sitting next to you on the plane is gonna have to talk twice as fast now. It's gonna be like, so yeah, you fly often, you're going on vacation, is it the work thing? I just had to check a bag. You checking a bag? Where are you from? Yeah, first time you're fleeing? Yeah, the plane's seen the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's gonna be great. And we're here. Also, I'm gonna call it culinary news, Papa John's has unveiled a new menu item called Papa Bowls, which are bowls full of pizza toppings without the crust. And I just wanna say, congratulations, America, you did it. You finally found the opposite of a salad. Well done. Congratulations. But let's move on to some of the biggest stories of the day, starting with the 2022 midterms. Last night, the primary that everyone was watching was in Wyoming, the state with a population almost as big as a New York subway car. Now, the reason everyone was watching this race is because Liz Cheney was running for re-election. And of course, Liz Cheney has been the most prominent anti-Trump Republican in Congress. She voted to impeach him. She's led the committee investigating him. Basically, she just will not stop talking about that one time he tried to overthrow the American democracy. That was like a million years ago, lady, move on. So anyway, last night's primary was the chance for Wyoming Republicans to declare whether they stood with Liz Cheney or with Donald Trump. And they answered bigly.
Overnight out of Wyoming, a clear message from that state about the direction of the Republican Party. Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who was reelected easily less than 2 years ago, lost badly last night in her primary fight against her Trump-backed challenger, Harriet Hageman.
Cheney's landslide loss was no surprise. She knew she'd pay a price for voting to impeach Donald Trump and then serving as the vice chair of the January 6th committee.
Overnight, the former president writing, Liz Cheney should be ashamed of herself. Now she can finally disappear into the depths of political oblivion.
Okay. First of all, there's no way that Trump wrote that. Disappear into the depths of political oblivion? Really? This is the same guy who said, I don't like saying yesterday. It's a hard word for me. Yesterday. Really?
not him.
You know, if I was to bet, he probably has some guy who just fancies up his words for him. You know, he's like, I want to say something like, Liz Cheney, go bye-bye now.
The person's like, okay, how about disappear into the depths of political oblivion?
He's like, that one is goodly, maybe the bestest. I like it. And look, say what you want. Say what you want about Liz Cheney, but you have to respect how she stood up against Trump, even when she knew she was going to get blown out of her seat. And yes, it is saying something about the state of the GOP that the brave stance was don't hang the vice president, but still, she stood by it. And Liz Cheney isn't the only Republican who fell on her sword. Remember, there were only 10 Republicans in the House who voted to impeach Donald Trump. Out of those 10, 4 lost their primaries to a Trump challenger, and 4 retired so that they wouldn't lose to a Trump challenger. Because right now, any Republican who opposes Trump, he'll flush their asses away like one of those top secret documents. He doesn't play games. But the Liz Cheney story isn't over yet, because she's vowed that she will still do anything to stop Trump from becoming president again, even possibly running against him in the Republican primary. Yeah. And look, I mean, we must admit, it probably is a long shot. But don't forget, she is a Cheney. If there's one thing they're committed to, it's regime change. And to be honest, if she wants to stop Trump, she doesn't have to beat him in a presidential race. You know, just put a bunch of Reese's Pieces in a line off a cliff. You know, he'd be like, and this one, and this one, and this one. But let's move on from Donald Trump to another plague America can't get rid of, the coronavirus pandemic. Last week, the CDC announced that, quote, COVID-19 is here to stay. Yes, which sounds less like a public health announcement and more like something your mom says about your new stepdad. I love Jerry, so whether you like it or not, he's the new man of this house, okay? Jerry, don't eat that. That's cat food, honey. Come on. Now, because of this, and because fewer people are dying or being hospitalized from the disease, the U.S. is dropping some of the big restrictions that we've all gotten used to over the last 2 years, right? So no more quarantining if you've been exposed to the virus, no more testing at schools, no more 6 feet apart social distancing, and we can go back to washing our hands just after number twos. Yeah. So basically, the new CDC guidance is just looking at what everyone was already doing and just going like, yeah, just do that. We don't care anymore. We don't care. But if the U.S. has decided to live with COVID, the situation is very different in China, because they're still doing lockdowns at the drop of a hat, and it is not always going over very well.
Chaos and panic at an IKEA in Shanghai, China.
This is video from an IKEA store on Saturday after it was announced the store was going into lockdown. A customer had tested positive, so workers tried to put the entire building on quarantine. Customers rushed for the exit to try and leave before the doors closed. Those who could not get out were taken to a quarantine hotel for several days. China has the strictest COVID rules in the world. They've locked down entire cities over just a few positive cases.
God damn, did you see that? Looked like a reverse Black Friday. And I don't blame those people. Like, no one should have to spend 1 minute longer than necessary in an IKEA, okay? Can you imagine finally finding the exit just as the doors close? You're like, no! I just wanted to buy the Schmirnsglot! And that really shows you the different approaches countries can take to the pandemic, because China has shown that you can basically prevent all COVID deaths. But every now and then, you might get locked into an IKEA for a week with no warning. And then America's looking at that like, okay, how bad is death, really? I mean... Although, honestly, if you have to quarantine for a week, isn't IKEA the best place to be? I mean, they've got fully done bedrooms, living rooms, bathrooms. Yeah, they say you can't poop in the toilets, but you can. You know? I have. Anyway, let's talk about jobs. They're how we trade time for money, like witches. Almost everyone has to work. But let's be honest. There's working, and then there's working, right? As more and more people are discovering.
We begin with young workers refusing to go the extra mile.
They're embracing a trend they're calling quiet quitting. They stay on the job, they continue to get paid, but they're only willing to do the bare minimum.
So you look at these videos
on TikTok and YouTube of people who are celebrating their lack of enthusiasm for their job. They're just going to mail it in. They're just going to do exactly what they're supposed to do and not go above and beyond the descriptions of the job. Some of these videos are people who are like literally turning off the phone at 5 p.m., the work phone at 5 p.m., not answering email after 5 p.m., not doing anything above and beyond the 9 to 5 of the job, and saying, that's good because I don't need to work for the man, you know, and not have any kind of a balance in my own life.
Yeah, that's right. People are quiet quitting. They're just going to their jobs and then just doing the job from 9 to 5. And then hold up. That's just working. That's work. You realize that's work. You don't have to do the more. It's work. People in this country are so obsessed with work. Guys, your job is just the place you go to avoid seeing your family, all right? It doesn't need to be the most important part of your existence. If your job is from 9 to 5, that means the work messages should stop at 5 too. Yeah, that's right. Any message you get after 5 is basically a booty call. If your boss texts you at like 7:45 to see if you filed an expense report, it should start with, hey, you up? Bottom line, you need to establish a work-life balance. So remember, if you hate your job, make sure you also hate your life. Right? No, that doesn't work. But if you're thinking of quiet quitting, please keep in mind that clocking out for the day at 5 on the dot might be okay for office work, but it's not something you can do for every job.
All right, buddy. All right, don't do anything drastic, okay? We're gonna work this out. We're gonna work this out together, you and me, just as long as you let the hostage in. Oh, shit, hold on. It's 5 o'clock. All right.
Oh, man. All right, listen, you guys are gonna stick around? All right, if you guys are back here on Monday, we'll pick it up at 9 a.m. Oh, man. That's crazy. What are we doing? We're going to the bar? We're gonna do this thing? Yeah? All right, that's it for the headlines. But before we go, let's check in on the traffic with our very own Roy Wood Jr., everybody.
What up, man?
What's going on, Roy?
What's up, man?
What's going on, Roy?
Yeah. It's good.
So good to see you,
man. Good to see you, man. Good to see you, brother.
What's happening in the traffic?
We don't get the traffic, man. Traffic not going nowhere. It's traffic. That's why it's called traffic. It's always there. I want to ask you about this IKEA situation, though.
The COVID lockdown?
Yeah, the people getting locked up in the store. Yeah. What store would you like to be locked in for 2 weeks? Like, what would be your COVID lockdown store of choice?
I'd probably choose like a Best Buy or something. I can play video games the whole time.
Bro, that's dumb. You ain't got nowhere to sleep. You ain't got nothing to eat in Best Buy. There, a couple movie theater snacks. There ain't no real food.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
You know what I'm saying? Mercedes-Benz dealership. That's what I'm doing my lockdown. If I want to get trapped in the spot, I want to get trapped in a Mercedes-Benz dealership.
But there's no food.
They got what? They got the peppermints. When you buy a Mercedes, they give you peppermints. They got plenty of peppermints. And at the end of the lockdown, you get a free car. Free Mercedes.
No, why the hell would you get a free car?
After they see what I do to that car for 2 weeks, they ain't gonna give me that car. Damn right you're gonna give me the car. Cause trust, dude. If I'm locked in a Mercedes dealership, living inside a Mercedes, babe, I'm gonna be in that thing farting and shaving. I'm gonna sleep butt naked. I'm gonna be sleeping butt naked in that thing. Can't sleep, you can't let somebody sleep in a Mercedes butt naked then resell that. You know what that do to the blue book?
I mean, all right, what's happening in the traffic?
Get to the traffic. Did I hear you correctly in saying that American Airlines is buying 20 new jets?
Yes, supersonic jets.
They just put some money down on new jets.
Yes.
New jets.
Yes, brand new.
I thought the airlines, they broke. They've been crying broke for a long time. The airline industry is broke. That's what they keep telling us. I'm broke. Hey, man, I want to carry your luggage, but I need $50. Hey, I sure would love to give you some snacks, but I need $50. Oh, man. You want some leg room? Well, I'm going to need $50. We've been giving the airline industry all these 50 damn dollars, and now you just went and put down on a new jet? Bitch, no, you can't do that. You know, this is like when you loan your friend $50. And then you be on the Instagram, and they be on vacation in Jamaica, and they zip line, and they parasailing, and you need to zip line me my damn $50 is what your ass needs to do. You cannot cry broke.
I agree.
Oh, we broke. Yeah, let me get 20 of them new jets. Bitch, you know you can't get 20 new jets. And plus, We don't care. We just want to get there. We don't care whether or not they say what you want about Greyhound, but they understand that nobody cares. Greyhound ain't bought a new bus ever. The Greyhound you ride in right now, that's the same Greyhound that Harriet Tubman was taking the slaves up north on. It's the same bus.
Oh, man. Oh, Roy, you're ridiculous. All right, let's jump into the traffic, man.
I don't do overtime. I do the bare minimum. Oh, that side good. That side. Oh,
all
well,
right,
there's
right.
one.
Runwood Junior, everybody. I see what you did there. All right, don't go away, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about overdraft fees and how you can dodge them. Don't go away. I see what you did there.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarsella.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarsella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the law was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarsella.
We gotta show that he's a corrupt cop.
They could go f*** themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. You know, we all deal with things in life that are just annoying, like brain freezes or looking for parking or having to trim your nails all the time. Yeah, because apparently it's cool when Wolverine grows them out, but when I do it, it's gross. I mean, I don't understand how that's fair. But nothing is worse than when little annoyances also cost you money, which means few things in life are more annoying than overdraft fees. You know, and we've all dealt with this shit before. You accidentally spend more than you have in your bank account, so now the bank is charging you even more money that you don't have. Even if you go over by like a couple of dollars, your bank might hit you with a $35 fee, which makes no sense. Bitch, if I had the $35, I wouldn't be overdrafting, would I? I mean, if there has to be a penalty, it should be a non-monetary one, because you know the person doesn't have the money. They should be like, all right, you gotta lick the ATM screen or something like that. But not money. And this problem has gotten so out of hand that Democrats in Congress are now working on a bill to rein in overdraft fees, which is good, because people are just about at their breaking point.
This is just wild. A woman leapt over a bank counter while arguing with the teller.
She didn't want to pay overdraft fees, so she went over the counter. It all happened here inside this Chase Bank in Buford.
In the video, a woman is heard shouting at a bank teller. Then the woman climbs over the counter and demands her money. The bank teller backs up, and that's when the woman steals $750 from a cash box.
Okay. On the one hand, yes, a bit of an overreaction. But on the other hand, you're also kind of rooting for her, right? Yeah? I mean, that's how much we all hate overdraft fees. Like, watching this as a bystander must have been so confusing. It's just like, hello, I'd like to report a robbery. Yeah, who's being robbed? Well, to be honest, both of them, actually. You know what, actually, it's balanced, never mind.
And I know what you're thinking right now. Look, I hate overdraft fees too, but I'm not pole vaulting over a counter over $35. Well, once you know more about how these fees work, you just might. So let's find out where these fees came from and how they screw you over in another edition of If You Don't Know, Now You Know. So let's start at the beginning. In the 1990s, a bunch of consultants pitched banks on overdraft fees, a cool new way to squeeze money out of their beloved customers. And as evil as it is, you've got to hand it to them. It's definitely creative. Yeah, in fact, I bet the executive who came up with this idea blew everyone's minds, which is like, you know how we usually take money from people who have money? Well, what if we also took money from people who don't have money? My God, you've done it, Jenkins. Cocaine for everyone. Yeah! But when they came up with this idea, they didn't call them overdraft fees, no. The phrase they used for it was overdraft privilege programs. Yeah, because you see, customers would now have the privilege of paying extra for being broke. And you gotta admit, that's hella spin right there, right? They should do that with everything in life. They should hire these same people, yeah, just to give you excuses like, nah, she didn't dump my ass, she enrolled me in a masturbating alone privilege program. Everything's great, I'm doing great, I'm doing real good. So you see, what happens is basically banks frame it like they're doing you a favor by allowing you to take out extra money. In fact, just listen to what one woman says she was told by her bank after she got hit with these overdraft fees again and again without realizing it.
We was $1,400 overdrawn. Funds obviously were not there. They had never been there over a period of time. Why did you continue to accept the charges? Their response was, you have been such a good customer for all these years, we did not want to embarrass you at the checkout counter.
Wow. Wow, you gotta be kidding me. The bank kept charging overdraft fees because they didn't want to embarrass this lady? Really? They didn't want to cause any embarrassment? Everyone knows people value money over embarrassment. That's the only reason that reality shows exist. Are you kidding me? Also, you know that explanation is bullshit because it's impossible to get embarrassed in front of a checkout counter worker, okay? They've already seen it all. Yeah, they've seen every single one of us buying 15 bags of Cheetos. And we say it's for a Super Bowl party, but they know it's July. So the banks say this is simply a service they're extending to their customers. But the truth is, they spend a lot of effort manipulating you into paying those fees. Like, for instance, did you guys even know that they're totally optional? Did you know that? Yeah, totally optional. Ever since a 2010 ruling by the Federal Reserve, customers have to opt in to overdraft fees. And now you're probably thinking, wait, I never did that, but you probably did. Yeah, you just didn't realize that's what you were doing when the bank gave you that stack of papers to sign. Because nobody actually reads that shit, right? Most people see the size of the agreements and you're just like, oh, we'll just wait for HBO to turn it into a miniseries. I'm not gonna read that. And it gets worse, because once the banks trick you into signing up for overdraft fees, some of them will literally reorder the events of your life to make sure that you pay the most.
Some large banks will manipulate the sequence of customer transactions to draw more overdraft fees. This is how it works. Take Joe. Joe has $100 in his checking account. He buys breakfast on his way to work, paying for it with his debit card. Joe next fills up his gas tank. Later, he buys lunch, and then an afternoon cup of coffee. Finally, on his way home, he stops at the supermarket to buy groceries. The last purchase leaves Joe's account overdrawn by $15. But rather than charge him one overdraft fee, his bank rearranges his purchases from highest to lowest and charges him three overdraft fees. By clearing the highest purchases first, banks are able to get to the overdraft quicker, thereby maximizing profits.
God damn, that is evil. It's bad enough that these billion-dollar corporations are charging poor people overdraft fees, but to make it worse, they're manipulating the numbers so they can charge even more. Yeah, the third purchase came before the first purchase. That's not how you count, right? Either these banks are robbing people or they learned numbers from Star Wars. It goes 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7. That's just math. That's the math. And this is another example of how corporations can commit crimes that none of us can, right? Because this is theft, but they'll be like, oh, no, it's just the way. No, it's theft. No individual can get away with rearranging the sequence of time.
You tried this. Every single one of you in this room, you tried. You try it at home. Yeah. Try stealing something from the store, and then when they catch you, be like, no, no, no. I know I took it today, but I already paid for it next week. Now, if you'll excuse me. But like most evil plans, there's big money in what the banks are doing. In fact, they collected more than $8 billion in overdraft fees last year. Just overdraft fees. Yeah, one bank made so much money off of overdraft fees, the CEO actually named his boat the Overdraft. Yeah, and that's rubbing it in. That's like if Elvis had a boat called Black People's Music. I mean, I get that's how you got rich, but maybe don't advertise it. Imagine that on your boat. It's like, shit, like, where's a Somali pirate when you need one, you know? Just for him to be like, look at me, huh? This is a bad name for a boat, huh? Look at me. Now, the good news is some banks seem to be getting the message that customers and Congress are fed up with these fees. Bank of America and TD Bank are settling major lawsuits, while some banks have started ending their overdraft programs voluntarily, which is good. But until Congress passes this law protecting customers from the most egregious overdraft policies, we figured that there was an opening in the market for a bank you can really trust.
Sick of overdraft fees that drag you into debt? Wish there was a bank that treated you like an adult? Well, now there is.
Nope, you're broke.
Introducing Broke Bank. At Broke Bank, we're not gonna let you think you have money and then surprise you with an overdraft fee. When you're broke, we'll let you know.
$7 for coffee? Just get a tap water.
Is it embarrassing? A little. Insulting? Definitely. But we're committed to honesty. Like, really committed.
Come on, we both know you didn't win the lottery. Just walk away. What's in your wallet? Nothing. Are you renting a jet ski, motherfucker? You only got $12 and you need that for a shirt.
With Broke Bank, you'll never get tricked into opting in for hidden fees. The only thing you'll get from us is the truth about how poor your broke ass is.
You can scream at me all you want, but at least I'm not charging overdraft fees.
Broke Bank. You deserve honesty. You broke.
Now that is customer service. All right, stay tuned, because when we come back, John Boyega will be joining me on the show. You don't want to miss it.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarsella.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarsella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the law was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarsella.
We got to show that he's a corrupt cop.
They can go f*** themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Daily Show. My guest tonight is award-winning actor and producer John Boyega. He's here to talk about starring as a Marine veteran with PTSD in the new film Breaking, which will be in theaters nationwide on August 26th. Please welcome John Boyega.
The Mike Trevor Noah Show, finally.
Mr. John Boyega.
What's good,
How
man?
You doing,
good
sir?
To see you, man. I'm doing
Look at
well.
You, looking great, man.
Thank you, man. I decided to go Angel Gabriel today, you know what I mean?
Love it. Yeah. And you're pulling it off. Let's jump straight into it. The movie, congratulations.
You know, thank you.
I know you're capable of doing everything. You know, I've seen you do comedy. I've seen you in action. I've seen you in drama. This film feels like a slight twist on what we've seen you do before.
Yeah.
It's really intense,
yeah.
And it's a really powerful story that I think comments on what's going on in America today. Talk me through it. Like, how did you get into this project, and what made you go, yeah, you know what, this is the next movie for me?
I read an amazing script that, to me, just kind of jumped off the page. The character of Brian is so complicated, mm-hmm. his situation, his circumstance, going to the bank, trying to demand his money back from the Veterans Affairs was something that was just interesting.
Yeah.
And it's just a combination of who you're working with, Nicole Beharie, Salinas, Michael K. Williams.
Wow.
You know, this
right.
is a cast that made me definitely get out of bed.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
You know what I love about a story like this is, you know, is that one, it's based in the truth.
Yeah,
you know, that's the first thing. And secondly, you can see the humanity in the storytelling.
Yeah.
You have this man who goes, I've served this country, mm-hmm. I fought for this country, the story many veterans have in the US.
Yeah.
And then they come home and then their country deserts them. Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually shocking to even hear about the story and shocking that I hadn't heard about it, you know, in a sense that it happened in 2017. And this is just literally a few years ago. And it's
right.
something that none of us, it kind of happened under our nose. But to hear the detail about what vets are going through when mm-hmm. they come home, that integration back into public life is kind of complicated. For me as an actor, you know, I'm just play a small part in a jigsaw puzzle in exposing such a story and a perspective.
I think what you also do really well is you humanize the character.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just a veteran. It's not just a situation.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is about a human being who is in this situation. I mean, mm-hmm. you talked, for instance, to the real version of the characters, like his ex-wife, and
yeah,
you talked about the journey.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
did you learn about the human being that you were going to be portraying on the screen?
Oh, she told us so many gems, and it's specifics. As an actor, I want to hear how this man spoke. I want to hear about his interests. He was very much into movies, nerd stuff that I'm into. His voice, quite timid most of the time. So in scenes, like Abby would remind me, our director would remind me, remember what Brian's wife said. He has a quite timid voice.
Wow.
His walk, you know, we have CCTV footage, documentation
yeah.
About the case. And that all just helps to inform, you know, the performance. And that's what, you know, I used to go through as Brian.
You did a great job in doing it. And as you say,
man.
Like the team that's working with you, I mean, everyone
yeah.
deserves to be lauded. But,
yeah.
you know, obviously, you know, Michael K. Williams, you have a legend who we lost.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I think it'll be the last film that we get to see him in.
I think
in.
So.
Yeah.
He might have one after, I'm not sure. But this is one of the last, at the very least.
And
yeah.
the story getting to it was amazing because
yeah.
if I understand correctly, you basically had to beg them. You had to, like, chase him.
Trevor, I begged him. I have to beg. You know, they show me respect when I come on these shows and say, yeah, you requested for him to be in the movie? No. No, it was, you know, I had to beg him. Such a versatile actor.
Yeah, man.
And an actor that doesn't need to come and shoot my small little indie movie for $2.50.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it was me just asking him to collaborate, to come in and do a few weeks work. And he just showed up on set. He was down to do it. And for me, I grew up watching The Wire. I grew up watching Boardwalk Empire. So to see, you know, Michael K. Williams walk on set to be motivated and ready to shoot, I was just like, yeah, this is a dream that's come true.
Did he know what a fan you were of his?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
oh.
You've got, like, a DVD box set of The Wire.
Trevor, come on, man. Trevor, man. You know, even when I reached out to you on text, man, I let you guys know, man. I'm one of those people that I have so many people, especially black individuals for me, who are inspiring to look up to. So, yeah, I'm going to let you know why you're still here that, yo, like, you're inspirational. And I had to tell him straight up, you show him that love. And I'm glad I got those moments with him, you know?
That's beautiful,
yeah, man.
That really is beautiful. I like that. I've always said, like, anyone who is Nigerian has the ability to inspire the best in you as a human being. I feel like that's what you bring out.
Absolutely.
You've just got that thing.
I see criminals, I'd be like, you have motivation. Good motivation.
Oh, man. Speaking of, yo, like, we're so excited. As soon as I saw you in a movie with Viola Davis and then Tuso Mbedu from South Africa, I was just like, when is the movie
coming
out?
As soon as I saw me in a movie with Viola Davis.
Ah, yes!
And so, yeah, that movie comes out September 6th, The Woman King.
Yes.
Is with Viola Davis.
Man, it looks badass.
Yeah,
it looks badass.
It looks crazy. I was actually at the AMC at the Grove the other day,
uh-huh.
and both trailers came up. Breaking Trailer came up before
yes.
Brad Pitt's Bullet Train,
man.
And also The Woman King. And The Woman King trailer got a round of applause from the audience. I was tempted to say I was in that. But I left that there for the audience just to enjoy this story that I think is just going to be so epic for everybody
to
enjoy.
You know what I love for you doing the story as well is, you know, I fell in love with you like most people did with Attack the Block. You know, I was just like, this is one of the most amazing movies. I heard there's a sequel and I hope it's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've always loved how you can seamlessly move between accents, how you embody a character, how you change who you are. Mm. But this, if I'm correct, is the first film where you get to be like your family. You get, you know what I mean? You get to embody like your mother tongue. You get to, you know?
Yeah, I use my dad's voice for the king role. It's yeah. I even wanted to grow a bit of a belly so it could just, you know, to emphasize that. But it was such a papa role as an African man playing a king, but also playing a king who loves his people, who loves his women and supports them.
And protected by these women.
Was for me great. I mean, normally we get into movies and, you know, male lead wanted to be the number one movie star, all the action. That's overrated. I liked the women doing everything. I said, go girl, go get it. Go get it. So that was fun. I can't wait for you guys to see that movie.
Amazing. Yeah. Before I let you go, I would love to talk about the break that you took. You know, John Boyega, like you launched onto the scene. You came on, everyone was loving you as an actor, as a guest on shows. You just have this magnetism. And then I distinctly remember you saying, I'm going to take a moment.
Yeah.
How did you maintain the courage to say, no, John first, and then I'll get back into my career?
I just got to a point where I was like, life needs a sense of balance. And sometimes you go towards something and you achieve it, but there's no fulfillment because you've forgotten about the most important, which is the most important thing, which is the self. And in thinking about that, I was just like, yeah, I need to sort me out first. So that when I get to a certain stage and when bigger opportunities come, that I'm genuinely ready for it and not intimidated by it. And I honestly twiddled my toes in my little furry socks. I went on holiday, had some good times, and then I relaxed and got my stuff sorted, got in the gym, got reading, got into a routine. And I think a lot of us need to do that, right? Just to get back into
healthy. Yeah, man, get into
who we are. Yeah, man, yeah.
My dude, that's why you're going to be one of the greats. That's
love,
why
bro.
You're great right now. That's
love,
why you're
bro.
Killing it. Good to see you again, man. John Boyega, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you watch both movies. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this. Much love, man.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarcella.
Putting bad guys away, there's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarcella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the law was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarcella.
We gotta show that he's a corrupt cop.
They could go f*** themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game. Headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Well, that's our show for tonight. But before we go, I want to tell you all about a brand new way to relive the magic of the January 6th insurrection. Using an app called Voice Map, The Daily Show has created a self-guided audio tour of Washington, D.C. called In the Footsteps of the Freedom Surrection. So if you're in D.C., Voice Map uses GPS to automatically play audio when you get to each site on the walking tour, starting at the White House and marching all the way to the Capitol. Or you can just listen to the whole thing at home if you're lazy. So go to dailyshow.com/January6th tour to find out more. You can listen to the tour on Voice Map on the website at home, or download the Voice Map app for iOS or Android and search for Washington, D.C. to find the tour. Until next time,
Stay safe out there. And remember, the most... Oh, shit, it's 5. I gotta go.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central. And stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game. Headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.